Hello and welcome to the Transfers Podcast as we take an in-depth look at the lower leagues of football. You all right there, James?
I just reckon the joint. Ruining Turnstiles HQ.
I've seen that, to be fair. How are you? You well?
I'm grand now, aye.
Muzz, how are you?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. Muzz with a 66.
Very convincing, but
66% attendance this week as he missed the championship edition to do extra prep for this episode. So, as always, not as always.
It wasn't my fault.
But, who was the treasures? As demanded by the fans, we've gone back to three episodes, one per division, Championship, League One, League Two. This is League Two edition. Be sure to check out Championship and League One if you want some further football chat. As always, before we get into it, if you could like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. Comments, feedback, and constructive criticism at Turnstiles there on Twitter or comment section on YouTube is perfect for that sort of thing. So, we'll take a look at the fixtures from the weekend gone, preview the fixtures for the weekend upcoming, and some plenty of goals anyway through the games. Muzz, anything stand out? Do you think at least every game other than the Forfar game had at least three or four goals in it? So, defences on top.
Yes, and it was good to see, it was quite nice to see Albion Rovers show that last week wasn't just a flash in the pan and show a bit of, well, to take the lead and then mm-hmm. show that fighting spirit to salvage a draw. It was nice to see Cowdenbeath rack up such a comfortable win against a team that we've tipped to bother the playoffs this season.
Yeah, you boys have.
Yes, correct. Good point. Edinburgh struggling again.
That's a team I did tip to bother the playoffs, to be fair.
No linesman issues to blame or anything like that. So, yeah, plenty of action.
James, we'll start with you, your lads. Are you still a fully fledged, signed up and paying member of Gary Bowen's Barmy Army, just before we continue?
I am now, aye.
Good.
That's me firmly. They're my big team. My wee team, not doing so great, but the big team now is Cowdenbeath.
Good.
Change my loyalties, man.
You've got the blue on today as well for the boys and the Garibaldian haircut. So you'll have to be delighted then with that. Liam Buchanan, I think two penalties, wasn't it? And young Luke Mahady on loan from Rafe. Luke, to be a comfortable win.
Against an Elgin team that, if I check myself, I had them just edging into the playoffs against, Overstranraer, who, again, the less said about them, the better. But convincing, I think, in terms of, you know, statistics, the Cowdenbeath game, but also just convincing in terms of the main statistics, which is goals. They just looked to be better on the day. Elgin, something strange seems to be going on up in the water up there, but whatever happened in Cowdenbeath, it just sort of clicked for them. Tried and tested, it seems like a straightforward 4-4-2.
They've trundled out that 11, haven't they? Like we spoke about last week. While this 11 are fit, they're going to cause teams issues.
And it's everything that, if you didn't know about football, you would think, oh, that works. Like, you've got a big guy and a wee guy up top. You've got a guy with a dark, cool Kyle Hutton who'll just run around and tackle boys and be a wee rat and win the ball off. It's it, like Bobby Barr, guys who'll just run fast and try and cross the ball into the box. Right. Like, it's total football.
Probably doing him an absolute disservice here, Muzz, but it seems to be Gary Bowen's team talks could be, right, boys, you know what you're doing. Like 4-4-2, but they don't seem to change their style. Like Livingston away in the Premier Sports Cup, he's played that 11. Elgin at home, he's played that 11. Alloa away, he's played that 11. So, like I say, he just rolls them out and they're all good, experienced players, so they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and I think the players probably take to that as well, to be honest.
Enjoy it,
Yeah, enjoy it, and I think, you know, they'll not want to cross him, so they'll have his respect, and they probably, when you look at the guys like Hutton and Bobby Barr, they've been in a Dumbarton two banks of four, two up front as well. They'll be at home. Liam Buchanan, pretty sure Alloa, when he was at Alloa, they played that kind of shape. Thompson at Edinburgh City, 4-4-2. He'll have that every day. So I think
Craig Barr's played it with, and then you're right, because I like seeing Mullen, Barr, Todd, Miller, Buchanan, Robbie Buchanan, Renton. They've played that 4-4-2 with Boland for however many seasons now.
And they're all just like absolute, you know, just solid pros.
I was at the game against Balwa, and the good thing is Boland obviously does coach from the sidelines and Craig Easton and stuff, but see when there's problems on the pitch, they just sort out themselves. Like, you know, some teams will look at the manager and be like, he's going in there and he's doing this, what should I do? Whereas Cowden and Beaver's like, Craig Barr's like, I'll do this, you do that. Problem solved, James. You know, they manage themselves.
They all seem as well like players who could be going elsewhere. But like we touched on last week, like, why would you? Because if you can get enough players who are of that sort of stature in the game, then good things are going to happen. Like, Craig Barr could be playing higher up. Thompson definitely could be playing higher up. Buchanan, maybe, but you're looking at players who
can
certainly do a job, but there's an appeal at Cowdenbeath, and I don't know if that is just bowling or if it's a tried and tested, and you get boys that you're friends with or that you've played with before, or you've played with bowling. But similar to you, I was at the Cowden Livy game, and by the end, they were well beaten, but they're all, when they'd had the, I think it was the second or third go had gone in, there's no shouting. Craig Barr just looked like, well, we're well beaten now. They look like they know football. He didn't give up playing, but after the goal went, he was just like, yeah, fair enough. Like,
you can't do anything about it.
Football goes. So he's not going mental, he's not screaming at anyone, there's no inquiries, and everyone's greeting about who went where, and Boland's, you know, they all want to play and they all want to win, but they know what it takes to play football. So I think he's taken time to get players that fit in, and because they could potentially be playing higher up, you wonder what he is paying folk like Thompson. Mm-hmm. So you've hit the nail on the head when you said when this team's fit, he'll roll out that 11. When they're not fit, are they going to be good enough to sustain sort of the start that they've...
They've took a couple of 17-year-olds on loan from Rafe. One of them scored, to be fair, Mahadi. He looks decent, actually. Good bit of height about him. Can move.
I think he's a prospect. And when they're keeping... And they're keeping Harvey Swan on the bench.
Swan's good as well.
Most fans would probably say he was their possibly the best player last season.
I like him. Even though I'd say, who's it? Clark can go in and do a job at left back. He's decent as well. So
they've suddenly got a bit of a squad there, eh?
The untested but potential. I'll take a minute, Muzz, to doff my cap to you, because you'd put Stranraer at ninth. And your predictions, and two games in, they are nine. So, as our predictions go, that's relatively solid. Stop the count. And Annan made absolute mugs of us all, because I'm just checking my predictions. Every single one of us backed Stranraer on Saturday.
Yeah, myself. So I can't very well take credit for saying, oh, they'll be ninth, because they're ninth after two games. And then go and back them to win last Saturday as well. So I think half the reason I did that is because I don't really know where Annan are at, because they had a couple of half decent showings in the Betfred last week. They were beaten, but suddenly pulled this one out of the bag. You know, I think with likes of, you know, Chris Johnson and
Johnson's Aidan
Smith,
isn't he?
You're like, there's a lot of guys there who will. Could be dangerous and are going to cause teams problems.
I think even Greg Fleming and Sticks helps them, doesn't it?
Definitely, aye. Yeah, and the boy Swinglehurst is just so experienced now in that league.
But looking at the Stranraer team, that's a bad defeat for them. You know, Miller, Gallagher, Walker, Woods, you know, decent team.
Yeah, I think they lack a bit of a striker as well.
They need Duffy to get the boots on, by the way.
Exactly.
Surely he can do a job for 20 minutes even.
I think Yates is he's an okay prospect and stuff, but you're looking at, outside of him, they're lacking out and out strikers as well. So I think across the leagues, strikers are like hen's teeth. So
who's the striker that went from Stenny that's injured just now? Tommy Muir. They've got Tommy Muir, don't they?
Right.
But he's got quite a bad one,
that's right.
But they need somebody in quickly. Because they play Cowden. Actually, so away. So, given how we've all been singing Cowden's praises, we'll get our predictions on that one. And now I'm going to back Cowden. James?
Yeah.
Muzz?
Very confidently backing Cowden, actually, in that one.
But like you said, Albion Rovers, maybe a wee bit of a surprise with everything that they're doing now. Obviously took the lead against Steny, and I thought actually when they took the lead, I was like, Steny had obviously lost to Stirling in their first game. I thought they could be under a bit of pressure just if they lose that, but obviously they then go 2-1 up, concede a late equaliser. But Albion Rovers, James, looking all right.
Yeah, but and now we've sort of moved beyond Cowden. I'm really unsure of what's going on in the rest of the league.
Like, you had Albion ninth, didn't you?
It's baffling, but I think it almost tells a tale currently, the Steny team, that they've had mass overhaul.
They're just the time to set down,
had 6 minutes by the looks of it of quality, and then conceded a late equaliser. So that the Steny team's obviously got potential in amongst the players and in amongst, you know, the squad as a whole, not just sitting the starting 11, because by all accounts, it looks like they dominated the game as well. But, you know, is there a wee bit of, I don't know, inconsistency, or is there a wee bit of...
I know that Muzz was at their game last night, yeah. So Muzz, I'll come on to you in a minute. But James, just to round up Albion Rovers, it's good to see, like, take for example, Cammy Binney. He's been in and out Stirling teams in the past, and he's been there as, like, to provide competition. Or last season, it seemed him and Blair Curry, it was one in, one out type thing, you know, a couple of games here. But players like him, Scott Roberts, David Wilson, they seem to have been given responsibility and not guaranteed they're going to start every week, but you know, a cast iron chance to secure their place, and they're justifying it.
Especially notable, you've said Cammy Binney, with that goalkeeping sort of situation, because I think you asked Muzz last week about Goodfellow going to Edinburgh City, who's left Albion Rovers, involved in a Berwick team. We got relegated as well. Edinburgh City now aren't too hot. Cammy Binney's come in and Albion Rovers are now doing okay.
It makes a difference.
Is it just that sort of one or two players in the key positions that can make or break you in this division? Especially someone like Cammy Binney, who's young, who you said, like you said, has been in for competition. I think he did quite well either last season or the season before, and then sort of fell out of the team. So
it was last season, I think he got an injury, yeah.
Yeah, so it seems like he's come in and is now being sort of valued as, well, you're the goalkeeper now, so good luck. You know what you're like, if you go into Albion Rovers, you know what you're going into, really.
Aye, and see, just before we get Muzzy's thoughts on Steny, Albion travelled to Elgin, who we've spoken about, potentially hot and cold, started off with a 1-0 draw, a 1-0 draw at home at Stranraer. And then obviously last weekend there they were beaten by Cowden. Dan, and keep the bubble going, how do you see that one?
I think it'll be a scoreless sort of drab affair for me.
I think the bubble might burst. I'm going to go Elgin. Muzz, we'll get your prediction on that, and then see what you think of Steny.
It's actually quite hard to rule Albion out at the moment. Incidentally, third highest shots in the league. But do you know guess who are in second place?
Stranraer,
aye. So
that was a pure guess, by the way.
It is a Stranraer, so you know that's just a little stat, but that doesn't really inform much at this stage of the season.
What's your prediction for that game?
Elgin are bottom of the shot stats, by the way. So I'm going to be Maverick, and I'm going to say Albion Rovers are going to come away.
One of us will be right. So as we're saying, Muzz, Steny, they just need time to bed in, or what was your thoughts on them last night?
Yeah, I think it's just a case, like James said, it's a massive overhaul. You can't expect everything to just click at once unless you're kind of lucky. But they were weren't full strength last night. I was just looking at the starters. You're looking at maybe Declan Hughes, Ewan O'Reilly, Michael Anderson, Ryan Tierney, Thomas Orr. They all started. They'll be in and about the first team.
I think they were all on the bench on Saturday, but most of them came on, I think. I know Anderson and O'Reilly definitely came on.
Yeah, and it was a funny game, you know. Dundee United B had a lot of the ball, played a lot of very quick, slick football, but they just got done by kind of set pieces and things like that. Steny just showed a bit of experience. So I don't know. I think if they gel and they click, obviously, on paper they're going to be really strong, but there's nothing to suggest at the moment that they're really, really like firing on all cylinders, like in the way that Kelly Hearts are or have the experience that like Forfar have. So they're in a bit of a weird transition.
And James, they're making their debut on Friday Night Football away at Edinburgh City. We spoke about Edinburgh City there, kind of struggling, bottom of the league.
Yeah, and again, it's another one that I had predicted quite high. Just, I think, based almost on sort of individual players and then based on the individual players they'd had before. But I think now, actually, like we touched on, they've lost a couple of their key players, especially goalkeeper, especially centre-half.
Well, talking now just about goalkeeper, well, the goalkeeper went off injured, didn't he, Goodfellow? Then the young guy from Levy's came on, Schwack, and then he's took an injury, and then, I don't know if you saw the picture, he's like had a bandage around the bottom half of his head, basically.
Weird situation. Again, especially though against the Forfar team that I don't know as much of a... they're just guys. Like, they don't... It's not a Forfar team really.
That's your first time of the season, actually. I've been waiting for it.
Just guys. Well, there's nobody...
I'm not having that,
by the way. Set up and go, wow, this is an amazing Forfar team. Like, great place, don't get me wrong, it's a great club. Particularly enjoy the stadium, but... You know, looking at their squad just now, it's... I don't know. In my head, shouldn't necessarily be turning over Edinburgh City, but beginning now to wonder if Edinburgh City are...
I've backed Edinburgh to do all right as well.
They're not necessarily set the trend for the teams coming up from... through the pyramid system, but they're not as high reaching as they could be, or they've not set the path for everyone else to follow, because they just seem to have almost levelled off just now. And again, Muzz mentioned transition. I don't know if they're now in a transition of...
I had them getting the playoffs, but I worry further back for, you know, you've signed Scott Riki, who was part of a breaking team that went down with a whimper. You know, Tojny's had retired, didn't he? And then he came back to play. And Muzz, you're not having James shout that they're just guys at Forfar. I was actually looking at their bench and I thought, see, 5 years ago, what a bench that was. It's Stephen Anderson, Grant Anderson, Stephen Dorris and Gary Harkin.
Yeah, Anderson just sort of appearing back in the bench.
Still no Travis in, right?
Nah, it's Travis came back and then he's away again. So I don't know. It just must be just long-term niggles and things like that. But nah, I mean, Sir Andrew Monroe is not just a guy for me. Mark McCallum.
Meekin as well.
McCallum could be in goals for any team in League One, I think he would be first choice. Meekin, I, PJ Crossan. Thompson,
I really like Slater.
Dangerous on the wing. They like to get crosses in into the box. Like you say, they're still missing quite a few players and they've got a good squad there. Although, I have to admit, I saw Harkins play against Montrose and he looks like way, way, way off it. But maybe with fitness, he could actually really add something as well. So,
what a game on Saturday. Will they host Kelty, Muzz? Who seemed to dispatch Stirling Albion relatively easily, which is a surprise because we all had it as a draw. I think Stirling would be disappointed with that because I don't think they laid a glove on Kelty, to be fair. I saw the manager had said, we won this, we're better second half. But did they win the second half? I'm just trying to remember actually looking at it here.
We won 3-1, but managed to score all four of the goals, which I think sums up Stirling for me at this point.
Aye, Muzz, disappointing anyway.
They will be disappointed because they'll... Kelty, you know, everybody knows the strength Kelty have in their ranks, and even before they came into the division, they were already packed with talent. But Stirling will still see themselves as we're the league club here. We've been in this division for ages. We've got these plans. We've got this. We've got these ambitions, and we're guys with money as well. We don't want to just be rolled over to the new boys, that kind of thing. I think it'll be a wee bit of a hit in the pride, that one, I think, privately. But I think, like, Kelty are, you know, yeah, it's good. It's an opportunity missed at home to get.
I think they've changed their shape a wee bit as well. I think they've played Rabin Omar as a 10, Carrick off a side, and Flanagan off a side, obviously, BK for the middle. See, for me, Carrick in that league's got to play central. I know there might be a tactical element to it, but I think when you're starting out, you've got to play to your strengths rather than worry about the opposition too much. Right? I know there's an element of like analysis and stuff goes in it, but see, for me, just back your own players, especially at home.
I think Carrick can play But I don't think he should. Like, just because he can play out wide, just because he can get on the ball and maybe doing some creative, doesn't necessarily mean that he should be playing out wide. Put him in the position that he's going to cause most danger, because that's what you've bought him for. And I'm 100% with you. Get him up top. Like,
Every time I saw him for the last year, he was damaging that team.
Like, he's going to be the most consistent player. Sorry, the most consistent threat against the opposition. So get him where he is going to, you know, take full advantage of that.
Muzz, I think you've seen a bit of Airdrie, didn't you? He tended to play his best football, in my opinion, centrally last year.
Yeah, just centrally, just behind the striker, I thought. And he was also capable of coming deep. And I think he started a few games in that kind of even deep lying kind of playmaker role, because he has got that vision, he has got that football brain. And I don't know if playing him where they did on Saturday, they had an idea of, I don't know, BK
doing pace the against and, Forster, isn't it? And Dougie Hill and O'Ware. Yeah, that's their weakness, isn't it? Pace and behind.
Exactly. So, I don't know, but they definitely have the players to hurt anyone in that league, Albion, and they'll fancy themselves as contenders. So, just to get, you know, for that scalp that Kelty got, that's massive for psychologically as well. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Well, they'll be hoping that if Kelty drop points or even draw at Forfar, still and well within their ability to go down to Annan and win. Although Annan, like we say, a bit hit and miss tonight. We'll get your predictions, James, for the last three games. Annan, Stirling.
Yeah, I wish you hadn't come to me first on this one. I'm going to go with a draw on that one, because I think, like, I am still concerned for Annan. Despite the fact they've done okay, or done well, I am not without concerns whether that's head or heart. And I think Stirling Albion are still a good team. You said they should have every right to fancy going to Annan. So, I'll take that one as a draw.
I'm going to back Stirling. I think they should have Dylan Macken back. I think the sense of one game, innit? I'm sure he should be back, and you'll give him something different at that top end. James, sticking with you before we go to Muzz. Edinburgh City, Stenny, Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, prior, last week perhaps, or the week before, certainly would have been bagging the Edinburgh City drum. But for me, that's now getting quieter. So Stenny for me on that one.
I'm going to back a draw. So you're going Stenny, I'm going to draw. And lastly, James, top of the table clutch, a bunch of guys against Kelty Hearts.
Kelty Hearts.
I'm going to go a draw in that as well. Right, Muzz, a bunch of guys against Kelty Hearts.
Oh, man.
What's that game, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Kelty might just march on, you know that. I think
Sir Andrew Monroe not enough to stop the likes of Cardall and Higginbotham and Biabi et al.
He can't do it on his own, can he?
He's got Ross Meakin and Gary Irvin chipping in.
I don't know why. I've just got this hunch after bigging them up that Kelty are going to win that game. Do you know what? Personally, I'd love Forfar to win it. Not that any Kelty Hearts fans will give a monkeys about that, but
Annan Stirling.
Annan Stirling, I think I kind of agree with what you're saying. I think Stirling Albion should, and sort of like almost not have to win it, but really should be winning it, and that could really kickstart their season. Annan, two hit and miss.
Who's our last one? Edinburgh City, Stenny.
I think Stenny. I agree with a lot of what James was saying about Edinburgh City and what yourself was saying. The defence worry about Stenny, too much firepower. Once they get all those first team players back in, they're due a win, I think.
Well, there you have it, League Two in a nutshell. As always, feedback, especially Kelty Hearts fans or Forfar fans who want to defend a bunch of guys, get in touch with us at Touchdowns there on Twitter or in the comments on YouTube if that's what you're watching on. Like we will say, if you could do us a massive favour and like the video and subscribe to the channel, that would help us massively. We'll be back next week to see how many of these predictions were right and preview the games for the next weekend. But as always, thanks very much for joining. We'll see you again soon. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers.